holding a kill. Welcome, welcome back to this conversation or this talk on veganism versus Buddhism. This is actually not a complete title. But if you watched part one, you'll see that, and I'll link that at the end of this video, that I set the groundwork for Buddhism's view on how we eat. What I want to do with part two is I want to nail down a couple of things regarding veganism, vegetarianism, all these different isms having to do with our diets. What are their justifications? Why do we do them? And specifically, how they relate to Buddhism. Hopefully in part one, I made it clear that Buddhism is not the reason for or the impetus for these dietary restrictions. Early in Buddhism, there were reasons for dietary restrictions in order to teach a deeper understanding of the mind-body connection and how our mind works to feed our bodies. We are and have been for millennia a species that lives from eating fats, meats, hunter-gatherer, a small amount of grains and foraging. But our shift some 10,000 years ago to an agrarian culture that eats all these wheat products has actually brought about a lot of disease, from diabetes to any number of other diseases. We're not meant to process only grains. So, let me first say to those of you who are vegan, and there are different degrees to everything. There are some very hardcore, quote-unquote, vegans. There are some vegan-like behaviors. And then there are vegetarians, which fall into a different group. You may be a vegetarian who calls himself a vegan or sympathetic to vegans. So without going through all of the various different combinations, let me just state for you, firstly, this video is not meant to shame anyone. It's not meant to call you out as some kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, you'll get the message. Words can be tricky. My overarching point here is how does all this relate to Buddhism? I want to end this confusion, if I can, that Buddhism is not requisite for your practice of Buddhism to be a vegan or even a vegetarian. It is not requisite that you stop eating meat. So let me describe to you as succinctly as I can what I absolutely laud and appreciate and celebrate the will of a vegan. A vegan, to my understanding, from vegans that I have known, are vegan because they have a particular socioeconomic and political philosophy. They look at the mass production of meat from the standpoint of the huge amounts of earth that are used to raise cattle, the methane they produce, which is far worse than the CO2 we get from all the automobiles in the world, is a much worse greenhouse gas, and much more of it, simply from the farts of cows. So they make arguments about the amount of land, the carbon footprint, if you will, of raising cattle, and how detrimental it is not only to the planet, ecology, but ultimately to us. We're part of that ecology. So we're really mass-producing meat in a way that impacts the health of the planet and our survival. Look at the way they raise chickens in boxes for their whole lives and then inject the meat with water to fatten them up for market. The horrific way they raise pigs, swine, on and on and on. You can do the research. So these issues of ecology, mass production, carbon footprint, the health of the planet and the well-being of human beings is at the core of veganism. So understand that that's different than somebody who simply wants to change their diet away from red meats and more toward vegetarian and fruits. A vegetarian doesn't have that political connection. Do you understand? And all of that, it's great. If that's what you want to pursue, then more power to you. I think what you're doing is significant and important. What I want to end is this idea that in order to be a good Buddhist, a true Buddhist, a practicing Buddhist, you must become one of those. Because that's not the issue in Buddhism. The issue in Buddhism has always been, in this particular case, how your mind perceives of and pursues killing. I mean, if you know, there's a form of argumentation, and Nagarjuna used to use this, and I forget the Latin term for it, but basically is how you can argue to a ridiculous level in order to make a point. And I will offer as a piece of that argument technique, that if you drink a glass of water, you are killing millions of bacteria and microbes and living organisms in that water. Unless, of course, you want to drink distilled water the rest of your life, which, by the way, will harm you. So I'm not a doctor, and I don't want to get into all the we could dive deep into this, and I could get panel experts and so forth, and we could talk about all these things ad nauseum, but those aren't the point. Those aren't the issue. The real issue is mental awareness. How are you acting mentally? When you go to McDonald's, do you understand that you're killing something? If not, then it's not an issue. If we could go back to foraging for our food and killing animals for our families and for our own nutrition and use their hides and do all of those things that I mentioned in part one of this video, then the issue isn't that you kill an animal to feed you and your family and sustain the species. That's a given. We're human beings. We are animals ourselves. The issue is, how do you think about what you're doing? And I'm not talking about justification now. I'm talking profoundly thinking, profoundly mentally considering what the act of killing is for you. Now, obviously, you could argue that a vegan has an empathetic response of sorts to the mass killing, slaughtering of animals to feed the species and sees it as a visceral threat to their own lives. I'm not arguing that they don't. I'm saying if that is your mental position, then by all means, abstain. By all means, be an activist to change the nature of the system. Certainly, if it were to continue happening for the benefit of the species, there would be a way toward a more humane way of doing it. Not necessarily eliminating it altogether. A lot of vegans that I know wouldn't want to hear that. But this is a Buddhist talking. I'm not a political activist. I'm trying to find anything in our behavior that supports the preciousness of life, all life, the life of the planet, the life of every animal and vegetable and non-sentient as well as sentient being on it, in our environment. We're all participating in this reality, our human reality, samsara. I mean, this is an aside, but you could even laud the efforts of the Japanese who pet and groom and massage their beef to create this wonderful Kobe beef. And you could argue, well, you're still slaughtering and eating an animal, but that animal has a really wonderful, pampered life. There's so many subtleties involved in this, and they're personal. Their personal experiences. So, once again, Buddhism does not try to label any of that spectrum as good or bad. What Buddhism is about is your mental process, your mental perception, your mind's perception of your human reality. Again, not justification, not saying, well, I'll die if I don't eat. No, that's juvenile. You have to look more deeply into your own psyche. If every time you go out or you at home, prepare yourself anything from fish to chicken to beef to what any kind of meat, and you feel saddened or you feel elated that this animal died for your pleasure, then you might want to consider, is your desire for that kind of pleasure motivated by your survival and your respect for life? Or is it somehow egotistical? Do you see, the ego is the main player in all of these questions that Buddhism asks. What's driving your action? Does it support life? Does it support may not be the right word here, but does it respect, does it revere life? You know, I remember growing up hearing all kinds of stories about native peoples, like indigenous peoples, like the indigenous peoples of Australia or North America. And the way, I had a girlfriend who was part Macaw Indian, and they were a fishing tribe, and the hunters would go out into the cold ocean and swim and spout water into the air and do a form of prayer of worship and thanks to the great ocean gods that they might be able to find a whale that would feed their entire tribe for a year. The blubber would put oils in their lamps. They would use the flesh to make clothing, and on and on and on. They just used every part of the animal, and it was a glorious, respectful, revered thing. See, for those people, there was a deep, abiding respect for the order of nature and their role within it. They didn't go out to kill the whale to frame it and put it on the wall and go, kill the whale, I'm the man. If they were the man, it was because they fed the tribe. They were a great hunter. They were a great provider. This is the human condition. You can't escape that, Buddhist or no. Does it make sense? So again, there are a great many activists and political activists, and you don't have to be an active activist to be somebody who's appalled at the way that we treat livestock of all sort, even fish farms, in order to feed ourselves. It is a big problem, though. There's a lot of us on the planet. So what's another way forward? How can we do this differently? That would be a much more laudable activity. I don't know how well it pays, but this is what a Buddhist would do. How do we feed all of these mouths without committing acts of horrible discompassion? How can we compassionately feed the masses? You know, and for some of you, you'll say, well, the answer is everybody eat rice. But that's not a full diet. That doesn't produce healthy humans. It's problematic. We need other things in our diets. We are human. And being human is not a denial of our humanity. If anything, it is a path, a methodology, a way of thinking that seeks our maximal potential of being human. I hope I've made that clear with these videos. Again, we go on and on. Please make comments. I may have skipped over things I hadn't even thought of. You may have some brilliant ideas that I would love to hear. Use the comment section for that, please. And I look forward to hearing from you. In the meantime, as always, you have my deep, deep appreciation, my Patreon supporters, Cocoscope subscribers, Patreon.com/TLK, Cocoscope.com/TLK. I try to make these videos free to everyone. But if you can support this endeavor, the equipment costs, the time that it takes, I really, really appreciate any support you can give me. And to those few who are supporting me right now, I can't express my gratefulness. Be well, respect life, respect yourself. Namo myoho renge kyo. Talk to you soon.